Good evening. This is Pastor Rice, and I'm recording a Bible study, Sunday Bible study for Sunday, December 27th. And it's close enough to Christmas. Let's start out with a Christmas song and watch for a couple verses I added to this. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. For God so loved the world that day, he sent his Son to take away the sin and hurt that does pervert the peace on earth, goodwill to men. When you receive him as your Lord, he tunes your heart, adjusts each chord, and now you stay on every day with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolves from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Father, how I praise you and thank you that we can meet around your word. Thank you for Christmas and the celebration of the birth of your son. Thank you again for these closing days now of 2020. And I pray a special blessing on our Bible study today. Thank you again, Father, for the miracle of giving your word, and especially for the greatest gift ever given, the miracle of giving your only begotten son. Pray your blessing on this Bible study, touch hearts in a special way. And Father, meet needs in troublous times that we live, even through the preaching of your word just now. We thank you, we love you, and pray again your blessing on this Bible study for Good Samaritan Baptist Church tonight. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. All right, I had preached a Thanksgiving message a couple years ago on called It's Amazing What Praising Will Do, and I didn't get to fit that in this year with everything else going on, and so I thought it'd be good on a Sunday Bible study here to go ahead and include that Bible study. It is actually a bunch of Thanksgiving slides, but you don't mind them again right after Christmas, and so we're going to go ahead and look at the theme. It's Amazing What Praising Can Do today. So let me see if I can't find that here on a presentation, and we'll go ahead and look at the presentation of It's Amazing What Praising Can Do. I guess I need to share that screen right there. All right, so our Thanksgiving again time is ushered in with these two verses, especially out of Hebrews 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruits of our lips giving thanks unto his name. So as we look at this theme, it's amazing what praising can do. Let's go ahead and understand the importance of praising God, even here because of this promise, but especially again, in all through the year. We've had a depressing year, some of us have. And so I want to go ahead and cover some things again about how to recover from depression in this little Bible study, and how to keep our keel right and keep on the right course as a Christian. So it's amazing what praising will do. Right out of Romans chapter 1, you notice first off that we have some verses that talk to about the steps away from God. Let me look at them first. Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for the invisible things from him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, comma, dot, dot, dot. And here we have a set of stair steps, as you would, moving down and away from God. And this is what you do to step away and move away from God. They knew God. Then the Bible says they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And then the steps go on, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So what we want to do is take that staircase and look at it in reverse. And you can do that all the way from the bottom of the stairs there, where you have a reprobate mind represented in Romans 1, and go turn around right back up that same staircase and approach back to God. So the first step I'd have all of us do is, whatever step you may be on, is to take steps back towards God. And so let's go ahead and look at that first movement that you'd have to make back towards God. You can only move towards God by accepting his Son as your Savior. And so notice here again in our slides that we have how to be reconciled to God. And this message is really for those who have been reconciled to God, the born-again believer who's trusted Christ as their Savior and has a counselor on board, as again the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in their heart. Of course, in order to be reconciled to God, we've got the verses there on the screen that we rehearse regularly around here, and I hope that you've committed them to memory. If you're a Bible believer, I'd encourage you again to memorize these verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's a Bible word. You need to be saved. And if you're viewing this presentation and are not saved, pay attention to these verses. If you're viewing this presentation and you have been saved, memorize these verses and be ready to share them with others. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, the Bible says, is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In chapter 5 of John, it says this, verily, verily, Jesus speaking, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so if you've been saved, if you've been born again, the Bible says you need to be converted. Except you be converted, cannot enter the kingdom of God. So those are all Bible words that talks about your acceptance of salvation. We rehearse regularly the Romans road that says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place. Again, it says there in Romans chapter 5, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the free gift, and that is a gift from God, came through one man, and unto justification of life. And then it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can only first move towards God by accepting his only begotten Son. You must be born again, the Bible says. You need to be saved. A formal acceptance of salvation is required. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 gives you that plea that you must make again to the Lord Jesus Christ to have your sins forgiven, and to have him as your counselor on board, to have him move into your soul to be born again. I trust again that you are a born-again believer. And I trust again, as we learn again about the importance of praising him, that you'll again find this to be encouragement and strength for the year 2021 coming up. In loneliness, we learn to praise him. In victory and defeat, we need to praise him. In heartache, praise him. In success and in failure, praise him. In grief, we need to learn to praise him. In stress, in peace, no matter what's in our life, in everything, we need to learn to praise God. In pain, praise him. In discouragement, praise him. In encouragement, praise him. In discord, praise him. In discontentment, in perfect contentment, always learning to praise God and to be thankful. When we're in sweet accord, or when we're in depression, when we're in ecstasy, no matter our condition, the Bible says that in everything give thanks, be one and learn to be one that praises God. Bless him, praise him, glory in his name. We want to look at the power of doing that and in being thankful to him. The Bible says blessing and praising God and giving thanks, thanking God. It's a mind-altering cure. It is a cure to depression. Bible says there is a book. No, actually, there is a book that offers a permanent cure for manic depression called bipolar disorder. It has cured millions. It will do everything that the 20th century ads promised and failed to do. The meditation ad, the dietary ad, and the diet supplementary ad are all presently off the market and had quite remarkable failures. So again, understand there is a cure for depression, but you don't find it in a little pill bottle, and you certainly don't find it in some of the marketing things that's done in our world. The cure is here and described, and it has been around for over 1,900 years. It is a genuine cure. It is God's cure. Pay attention. It is amazing what praising will do. this slide again comes from, I forgot where I got it now, from the Real Depression Project someplace on the internet. And it said again, what people think causes depression. Some people think it's weakness, laziness, or an inability to suck it up. I like that. I hear that often. But again, what actually causes depression is a whole list of these things going through here. And then again, the thing that covers depression here from the Real Depression Project says depression is very complicated illness. There's no simple solution that allows one to just snap out of it. And that's true to the extent that people have not learned to praise the Lord. Blessing God, praising God, and thanksgiving, it's amazing, mind-altering cure. Pay attention. It's amazing what praising will do. That project there painted a very bleak picture. But God's word gives the cure. Jesus said it this way, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And so again, I want to lift up and have you understand, more importantly, the biblical method here of curing not only depression, but so many other things in our life. And we'll have a list here in a minute. Blessing God, praising God, and thanksgiving. It's a mind-altering cure. The cure for grief. Let's look at that for a moment. The world says there's 7 stages to grief. They're listed there. But notice again, God says that there's one stage. God can handle that in one stage. And that is, as I've been saying, it's to jump right to the heart of the matter and to praise God. It's interesting that Job, you remember Job in the Bible, lost everything and did not go into a depression. He's written a good philosophy book, I suppose you'd have to call it, a book of Jude, where his 3 friends accused him of all kinds of things. But Job, when he lost everything, said, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." An example, again, of praising God when you're at the bottom and nobody's been quite as low is Job, to my knowledge. After the death of his son, King David, who had lost his son because of sin, gave this comment, "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." I'd again like to emphasize that it is amazing what praising will do. Blessing God, praising God, and thanking God, it is mind-altering. It is a cure for anxiety, I have listed here. Anxiety is an intense, excessive, and persistent worry and fear about everyday situations. Anxiety can be normal, stressful situations, and is only an indicator of underlying disease, as they would call it, when feelings become excessive, all-consuming, and interfere with our daily living. Man recommends making some lifestyle changes to promote a life that doesn't cause you to feel anxious, but God has a cure written down, and this will cause that you don't feel anxious again. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pay attention. It's amazing what praising will do. Also notice again that this is God's intention in Christ Jesus. You need to be born again. You need to be saved before this cure can take a full effect on your life. And so it's a cure for addictions. I won't go too far into this one, but certainly it is. a biblical perspective on victory over addictions to drugs, smoking, alcohol, liquor, pornography, gambling, is first to say, I have an addiction. Certainly, it's to belly up to that responsibility. There is a Bible-centered counsel on dealing with addictions following the Reformers Unanimous program that I'd encourage you to look into at a church near you. And it is to introduce you to the one who can provide freedom from any addiction, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Disturbing statistics, 80% of the U.S. is struggling with addictions. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he alone can change you from the inside. Remember the word the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Remember, Jesus said that he was the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Only with the Lord Jesus Christ can you praise God. It is a cure even for the addictions in our life. And if you have needs in that area, I encourage you to call us and we can put you in touch with a Reformers Unanimous program. A cure for anger. I had an anger management class and we took 6 weeks and went through a bunch of scriptures over anger. But here's a general outline of that. The causes of anger are selfishness, unforgiveness, and pent-up anger. Pent-up anger is in people that are raised without discipline and land without any self-discipline. It's getting more and more common in our society as we're raising up generations with no discipline whatsoever in their life. They got more timeouts and they got good whippings. So a cure to angers then are the opposite of those three causes. Cures to angers are selflessness, are forgiveness, and for dealing with life or developing a discipline in your life. And again, the way we get to that cure is, again, through God. Temperance, self-control. If you lose your temper, it's because you have no temperance. And you have an anger issue. And temperance is a characteristic that comes from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Forgiveness, that's a characteristic that can only come from God. Forgiveness and the ability to forgive. And then discipline, it's a character that comes from God, but it's a character, again, that's needed in a life, and it comes through some work on our part. And so, again, even anger, again, is involved in a cure for anger is included here. When we learn to just in everything give thanks, to praise him, and to lift up his name. I got here that it's a cure for mully grubs, a despondent, sullen, ill-tempered mood, sulks, blues, ill-temper, colic, if you heard that term before, or just plain old grumpiness. It's amazing what praising can do. God has a cure for mully grubs. It's a cure for broken relationships. You remember the broken heart you had when you were dating and to an unresponded love. Understand that, hey, that's hard. I understand that. And being in a relationship problems is challenging. But again, I want to slip this in as a cure for even broken relationships and the discouragement and the disheartened life that can come from that. A cure to that. God has a cure. It's amazing what praising can do. So in all of these, again, I just want to emphasize that praising God gives you an ability to overcome a lot of things in life. And it keeps your head on straight, for if you're a Christian, it keeps your spirit right. Listed here again in our slides is 24 verses that just quote, praise the Lord. So, or praise ye the Lord. And so there's a list of 24 verses. If you're enrolled in this class, a six-week class, we'd be memorizing these verses and reciting 24 verses on a regular basis. I give them here for your reference to understand that there's many times in the Bible when you're called upon just to praise ye the Lord and to be active in praising him with your mouth out loud, praising God, and fall into a habit of doing just that. So there again in our slides is all 24 of those listings of praise ye the Lord. Then there's some verses about 15 verses about bless the Lord. Again, if you're going to bless somebody, you're going to do something for them that they cannot do for themselves. And so isn't it curious that we're called upon in the Bible to bless the Lord? 15 verses here that give a challenge to bless the Lord. And as we understand that, so do something for God that he can't do for himself. He created man so that we may bless him, that we could lift up his name, that we could honor him and praise him and be a blessing to the Lord. Imagine you, a little peon dot on the map, is going to be a blessing to the creator of the world. What a miracle again in the Word of God that we're told to bless the Lord. I've got another whole series of this study that I went through that covers the health of praising God. And here I think there's about 9 verses that tells how praising God is health to your body and marrow to your bones. It changes your health. And let me go ahead and say here, without mentioning any name brands perhaps, is that it changes your body chemistry. Not by popping some pill, not putting a Zantac in your mouth. It is not, again, a chemical change. It is a chemical change, but it's not done by introducing a new chemical into your body. Instead, giving praise to God changes your morphins in your brain. It causes, again, that your body chemistry changes. And we understand that and know that. Again, clinical depression can often be cured by what they call talk therapy, but more so by praising and thanksgiving. And so can your health be changed. Many physical disorders in our body are created by stress and by mental and chemical disorders caused by stress. And so getting rid of those by praising God, it changes your brain chemistry. Some verses there out of Psalms and Proverbs that deals with that. And again, causes that we would praise him. I got a section here on praising him in song. And the Bible says if you're saved, that God gives you a new song in your heart. And so I want to encourage you to have a song in praising God. And again, let me just give you one of those verses. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Have you understand that rock music will change your spirit, but not to the good. So I'm not talking, there's no such thing as Christian rock. I don't care what lyrics you put in with rock music. The music destroys your spirit or sidetracks your spirit into worldly things, ungodly things. And so I'd encourage you, if you got an addiction to what is called by the world Christian rock music, get over that and understand that's not what we're talking about at all when the Bible says have a new song in your heart. That's the old song of the world. You want that out of your heart. And so again, a ton of Bible verses to recite. There's 9 verses again to recite about a new song that ought to be into our heart. Doing a happy dance to God. I'm not even going to preach on this. There's so much misuse of dancing in our world. And it always has sexual overtones. that you have to guard against. And so there's, again, a slide that covers some things about what not to do in dance. And again, the fact that if we're excited, there's at least a skip in our step. And again, dance is something that's used and dangerously used by a lot of the charismatics, by a lot of the holy rollers. Again, so be careful. It's used by the world, again, to entice something other than a spirit of worship of God. And so that's all we'll say about dancing. But I could go ahead and preach another hour on that. Count your blessings. Be thankful. Again, this was prepared for Christmas, and so it has a whole, or Thanksgiving. So I have a whole Thanksgiving outline that I put in here about what to be thankful for. Be thankful for who you are. Be thankful for what you are. Be thankful for when you were born and got here in this world. May you live in interesting times, as comes out there. May you be thankful for where you were born. You could have been born in Bangladesh. Be thankful for why you were born. The Bible gives that in Revelations 4, why we are here. Be thankful for how and what we have. I only have one slide I want to mention here. That's number 3. When you were born, be thankful. You have so many more conveniences. I have so many resources at the tips of my fingers. It's unbelievable. And so I have the quote there that my grandpa had more work in his little finger than I have in my whole body. And so, again, understand that we've got, again, a means. We've got everything we need. We need to just learn to praise him. Thanksgiving. It's amazing what praising will do. And we're told to be a thankful people and to give thanks. Listen, you can only move first towards God and up back up that staircase towards being thankful by following this approach first. You need to be saved. You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You need to be born again. You need to be converted to Christ. And again, all those are Bible terms. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead in your place, thou shalt be saved. And so again, I'd encourage you to learn. It's amazing what praising will do. I kind of lost track of my time here, but let's go ahead and learn to praise God in 21. And take advantage of all the benefits that are going to come if we can keep our heart thankful and be praising God. Father, praise you again and thank you for this little Bible study. Thank you again that we could look at some principles from your word that are sometimes overlooked in our society and our busy world. And I pray again that you'd help every one of us to step out of 2020 and into 21 with, again, a thankful heart, that we could again learn that it's amazing what praising you, being thankful, blessing your name. Father, we praise you and thank you for the insight and ask that you change lives because of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, it's a short Bible study we gave from a Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and I'd encourage you again be involved in church. I know that there's an attack, again, to try and remove the church from people's lives. It's been all too successful. People, again, are not gathering themselves together with, as a manner of some is, it says in Hebrews. But boy, I encourage you to get to a church. You need to be involved with other believers. You need a pastor. The Bible says so. You need a shepherd that'll watch out for you, that'll preach for you. And if you don't have one, boy, let me encourage you. You give us a call. We'll find a Bible-believing church close to your area that you could, again, attend so that you could be in a church worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and not just watching Bible studies on the internet. Lord bless you for joining in today. And Lord bless our folks at Good Samaritan Baptist Church for your faithfulness. Even during this past exciting year of 2020.